morning. It's nice to be back with you this morning. This is actually when I started kind of going on the road and speaking at different churches on Sunday morning. I started keeping record. I'm really glad that I kept record. This is my 20th visit to Albany. 20 times in 21 years. I missed last year. We're back. I want to thank, first of all, Reverend Crystal for inviting me to be with you all this morning. I'm not quite sure why it is, but whenever I come to town, the local unity minister leaves. No, it's true. They get a day off. That's really nice that they get a day off or go to another church or something like that. And I thank Roger for his help and everything. Roger's going to be part of a retreat that we're doing in just like a couple of weeks from now. It's called the One Mind. We're looking at awakening to the One Mind. It's down by just 35 minutes north of the GW Bridge near the Palisades Parkway in New York. There's flyers about that if that should interest you. Roger's going to be doing a short kirtan and a long kirtan, and then other times he's going to be available to be seeing as people come into this. It's not a sanctuary, but into the hall for our presentations, etc. Thank you, Deborah. Deborah's music, by the way, fits in perfectly with today's message, and that's really fun to see that. Jackie, and thank you, Nancy, for your help this morning as well. It's nice to see some number of friends here. So we do have a workshop this afternoon. It begins at 12:30, so that's pretty soon after we finish the service this morning. You'll just have a little time to go downstairs and get a cup of tea or something and come back up. It's going to be here in the sanctuary because we're going to use a PowerPoint part of that as a presentation as well. And the topic is mysticism and A Course in Miracles. It shouldn't surprise us to hear that what's in A Course in Miracles isn't new. A lot of people, mystics over the ages, have had the same insights, but it's the packaging of the Course in Miracles which makes it so. It's a 21st century document which came to us through an incredible psychologist, a professor at Columbia in New York City, nonetheless. So our topic for the morning is watching our thoughts. So if we could, I'm in charge of that, I think. Pardon? Is it ready? It's a nice path. Not sure where it goes. But we're getting this one. Yeah. We'll get it. It worked during the first service, so we know it works. Well, let me. All this technological stuff is always a challenge. Getting closer. There we go. All right. Actually, you know, you can't stop thinking. It's the curse of consciousness. You know, you can't stop. But what you can do is you can get to a place of peace. You can get to a quiet, what the Course calls a quiet mind. Peace comes to the quiet mind. It's one of the intentions of Zen Buddhism, is just to get the mind down to a completely quiet point of view. That's one of the reasons we do counting of the breath. It's just because counting is completely, you're not thinking about anything, you're just doing the counting, which is a kind of relaxation thing for us to get into. So we're really going to be looking at why we think about what it is that we think about. And let's go. That should be working. Can you do it by hand back there, maybe? Is this not turned on? Oh, that could be it. Huh? It's not working? Work during the first service. All right, slide. That's not it. Okay, so good. All right. Okay, so the Holy Spirit, oh, now it's working? Okay, good. Calls upon you to both remember and forget. These are quotes from A Course in Miracles primarily that I'm going to be sharing. You have chosen to be in a state of opposition in which opposites are possible. So, next slide. Oh, come on. You might just stand here and... All right, slide. We're going to slip slide right through here. Just a minute. I don't know why this is. Slide. All right, well, we'll just talk about it without... There's a picture that goes with this. Okay, is it just slow? All right. This is Ken Wapnick, by the way. And anybody who doesn't know who Ken Wapnick, Ken was the leading speaker, teacher for A Course in Miracles, number one. First to get really involved and wrote 34 books in 34 years, produced hundreds and hundreds of CDs and about the Course, totally committed, totally dedicated in helping us understand the meaning of the Course. And this is from Ken. Ken says, the central teaching of the Course is that we have another choice. Notice that says the central teaching. We have chosen mistakenly, and now we can choose again. So you only have two choices. There are not three choices or four choices or six choices. There's two choices. At all times, our minds are either in alignment with this thing we call an ego and this ego chatter that goes on, or our minds are in alignment with what the Course calls the voice for God or the Holy Spirit. So we got one way or the other way. We know a lot about the ego because this is the thing that seems to dominate our minds a lot. You're no good, you're stupid, you're idiot, why did you say that? My goodness, look at the mistake you just made. Or how do you look today? You don't look so, whatever it is. Why? All this stuff, all that's negative stuff that we can throw ourselves. Or we can have the mind in alignment with the mind of God. And the Course is trying to help us to slowly go through and be glad it's a slow process. The Course says, well, fear not that you will be hurled into reality. If you were hurled into reality, all of a sudden no ego, you wouldn't even know, it wouldn't be able to handle it. So we gradually are beginning to let this thing go. What you should find happens as you go through the process of awakening, it doesn't have to be the Course, any process of awakening, is you just literally become more and more and more aware. And more and more and more aware. And so you become more and more and more aware, then it's less and less likely that you're going to get caught in some sort of negative, egoistic attack thoughts, angry thoughts, projective thoughts. You're not going to get caught in some sort of addictive type of behavior. You'll just know that that doesn't work and that there's no need to go there. One of the things you're going to do is you're just going to learn how to leave the world alone. You know, that's the kind of, just my wife, who's not an active student of the Course, but you have to pity the poor lady. She's had to sit and listen to me a lot. has said that her favorite line from the Course is the line which says, let him be what he is. Seek not to make of love an enemy. Just leave it alone. Leave the world alone. People are getting really upset about stuff that's on the news. I said, well, stop watching the news. You know, how simple can that be if it's going to take the peace of mind away from you? Just don't. One of my favorite things that I like to say to folks is don't let anything take the peace of God away from you. And the question that we're going to try to get to today is, what is it that, you know, that's taking the peace of, why would I let something take the peace of God away from me? Who is what we used to call Charlie the Chooser? Let's do slide. Okay. So the thought of separation has given rise to this whole world, otherwise there would be no outside. We think that there's something that's outside. I love it when you're reading the Course in Miracles and you read a line and afterwards you kind of go, what? Here's one. There's nothing outside of you. What? There's nothing outside. That means there's nothing outside of your mind. The beginning of chapter 21, I'll talk about this a lot. Projection makes perception. And another line which says that the ego analyzes, the Holy Spirit accepts. So we are really, we love that we judge, analyze, interpret, project, good, bad, pretty, ugly, nice, not, let's just leave it alone. Just enjoy what is, but we don't have to be pointing out the problems that we see in the world. You notice how often you, over coffee or tea, you get together and you start talking about what is going on in politics or what else, what the problems that exist in the world. They're not yours. I mean, you know, it's out there. It's in the world. Now, the world is in the mind. It's how I'm saying. I love the definition of Jesus that appears in the Course. The definition of Jesus is in the clarifications of terms in the back. It says, Jesus was a man who saw the face of Christ in all of his brothers and sisters and remembered God. Isn't that interesting? Jesus was a man who saw the face of Christ. All you got to do, we're learning how to look with loving eyes instead of with fearful eyes. The ego is always fearful. The ego is going to see problems, even when there are no problems, right? Or sometimes there's problems, but, you know, we have to let problems be what they are and deal with them responsibly. If you just deal with it responsibly, then it's not so much of a problem. I don't know about you, but I always resist doing my taxes. Right? But when I actually sit down and do it, it's not such a big deal. Now, why was I had so much resistance about that? When you do it, it's okay. It's no, there it is. So much of life is like that. You just do it, you know. It's like you wake up in the morning and you're laying there thinking about getting up. Well, put the feet on the floor. Just put the feet, you know, just get up. You know, just start. Let's do slide, right? So, we are questioning the value of the ego as a guide. As each thought arises, observe it. To whom does this thought occur? This is really the interesting part. So what we're going to get to today is the root of the root of where the thought comes from in the first place. What we talk about is feelings. Where do the feelings come from? You know, that hurt my feelings. Why would anything hurt your feelings? Who are you to be hurt? See, an ego can be hurt. The Son of God cannot be hurt. You couldn't insult Jesus. You think he got upset with the disciples because they just weren't getting it? No, he was remaining at peace regardless of the circumstances that are going on in the world. So watch your mind. The Course says that uses that phrase 34 times. Watch your mind. Watch your thoughts. What's going on? Watch your mind carefully for any belief that hinders its accomplishment, and then step away from them. Slide. So just a word, a little whisper that you do not like, a circumstance that suits you not, or an event that you did not anticipate upsets your world and hurls it into chaos. Truth is not frail, but specialness is not the truth in you. It can be thrown off balance by anything. And then, so here, I have a CD out there and on the table. You may want to listen to it. It's called Word Fasting, the Miracle Diet. I've talked about this here before. I'm sure you remember. What it is, it's just I have a selection of words which I say, you completely eliminate these words from your vocabulary and you will feel much better. Jesus in the Gospel says it's not what you put in your mouth that defiles you, it's what comes out of your mouth that defiles you, right? So, for example, did you ever say that something upset you? See, the real question is, what is it that's upset? These have to do with balance, these words. Why would anything upset you? Who is the you that gets upset? Let's go back to the root of the cause. Right? Why do you have this feeling? Okay, another one, offended. Would you ever say something offends you? Well, who are you to be offended? Why would something be that offended me? It knocked me off the end, that's what it did. See, it has to do with balance again. You lost your balance because of something that was going on in the world. Why would you let something take the peace of God away from you? To lose your balance, to get upset. Or how about a judgmental word like disgusted. Are baby diapers disgusting? I said that once and some woman in the congregation said, yes! No, they are what they are. It is what it is, you know, and you can, it just depends upon how you choose to see it, right? It's a matter of choice. You want to see the problem in the world, or do we want to be healing the world? It's all a matter of choice, okay? There's only two choices. You can bless it, or you can curse it. You want to be blessing the world, or you want to be cursing the world? It's really that simple. You want to be fearful, or do you want to be loving? Let's do slide. So God did not leave his children comfortless, even though they choose to leave him. The voice they put in their minds was not the voice of his will for which the Holy Spirit speaks. So the Course says the primary problem we have is the authority problem. This is true for everyone. By the authority problem, I mean whose will rule. So what we do is we say, thank you very much, God. I'd really rather do it myself. And God says, fine. You have free will. Seeing it's one of the basic characteristics of divinity is free will. You have free will. You can choose not to follow my plan. The Course has in what it calls God's plan for salvation. That's GPS. Okay? God's plan for salvation. And all you got to do is follow GPS. I'm sure I've done the GPS illustration. All you got to do is just hit home. And instantaneously, at the speed of light, God's very fast. Not at the speed of sound. That would take too long. At the speed of light, you're given the right direction. Just follow my guidance. And don't tell me you don't know what it is. The truth of the matter is we know more about what it's not than what it is. Because we know when we're going wrong. And one of the ways you can tell you're going wrong is you'll feel guilty about it. You attack somebody else. You hurt somebody else. You know that's a mistake. You know at the time that you're doing it. You're getting angry. You actually know it's a mistake. Did you ever get angry and know that you're making a mistake and you still get angry anyhow? Stop it. You know, you got to learn how to stop it right away. Catch it right away. Catch yourself and stop it. Catch yourself and stop it. Catch yourself and stop it. And then the Course says, go the other way. You know, go the peaceful way. I have a friend that I've been trying to work with now for actually quite a long time as part of my Course in Miracles group who's paranoid. She's very paranoid. And it's very difficult to work with paranoia. It's really tough to work with. And I haven't had a lot of success. So I asked Jesus, I said, what am I supposed to do here? How am I supposed to help? And the answer I got was, just keep loving her. Just keep loving her. Just keep showing her that you love her. That would have been Jesus' response. There's two instances of Jesus' healings in the Gospels where he doesn't do anything. I mean, doesn't touch them or anything like that. In the story of the epileptic boy, for example, it says, and Jesus looked at him and loved him, and he was made well. All he did was look at him and loved him. Right? So that's what we want to do. We want to come to the same vision as the vision of Christ. Let's do a slide. This is a course in mind training. So we're literally retraining the mind. The course says you have passively condoned your mind's miscreations. So we miscreate. We miscreate when we get angry. We can miscreate when we attack. We miscreate when we complain. We miscreate when we're finding fault. All those sort of stuff, right? So that's all miscreation. There's a kind of creation which is loving. And that's the way we want to be changing the mind. So going on. So you have seen the extent of your lack of mental discipline. So we really need to discipline the mind. Who's in charge of this mind? Who makes the choices? I was just at a retreat this summer and I noticed that going through the cafeteria line every day, this woman, we get to the dessert part. Well, I really shouldn't.
But
you know when that thing I really shouldn't?
But
so who's the chooser here? If you really shouldn't, then why do you? Why do you make that choice? Why do you go with the what you know is the mistaken choice? Watch it. This is a course in mind training. And by the way, a word about Alzheimer's. If you're concerned about that or scared about that, begin to train your mind right away. If you're going to lay something down, think, I put the keys here. Remember where you put them, right? You think at the time you do, my glasses are on the kitchen table. All right? Think. Think about it. Focus on it. Just takes a moment to focus on it, and then you'll know. And you won't have to go, oh my God, I forgot. Where did I put my glasses? Or where did I put my keys? It just work on it now. So the sooner you start practicing this, the better off you're going to be in this whole process. Let's do another slide. I'm probably running out of time. I didn't check my chart. So I already let's skip this one because I talked about that already. Okay, so do you really believe, this is from the quote, do you really believe you can make a voice that can drown out God's? Keep in mind, God is going to win. God definitely wins in the end. So the sooner you turn it over to God and let God win now, then you can be happy now. Not for a single second do you need to wait. Do you really believe you can devise a thought system that can separate you from Him? It's actually impossible to be separate from God. But that's how we got into this problem we're in this world. We thought that we could think a thought outside of the mind of God. You cannot think a thought outside of the mind of God. You can. You can try to. The Course calls that dreaming. Daydreaming. So how much of our time is spent in dreaming our lives away? Right? Again, it's about waking up. So if you wake up, what happens when you wake up is when you're dreaming at night, it seems very real, and then you wake up, oh, that was just a dream. Well, you know what's going to happen when we leave this world? It's going to be a little bit like waking up in the morning. I suggest to you it's going to be like that. You know, at which point you can turn to your friends and say, I just had the strangest life. Lived in this place called Albany, New York. Had these kids, they drove me crazy. Or whatever it was that was what the story was, right? The problem is we dream the story. Stop dreaming the story and just start living the life that's right there in front of you, immediately present by being responsible. It works so incredibly well. We'll do one more, and then I think my time is probably up. My meaningless thoughts are showing me a meaningless world. This is the first idea we have that's related to a major phase of the correction process, the reversal in the thinking of the world. The Course talks about a reversal in thinking. Go the other way. Rather than continuing to abide by and engage in this egoistic projections onto the world, stop it. Go the other way. Start listening to the voice for God. It is there, I assure you. It's always. There's never a time it's not there. There's never a single second when the voice for God is not trying to help to give us the right direction. You got to get, sometimes you got to get quiet enough, long enough to hear it. What you want to do is first look at the insane thought. Look at the ego thought and then say, no, thank you. And then ask for guidance and the guidance will be there. Your thoughts determine the world you see. Underline. What do you see? Projection makes perception. The world you see is what you make it. Of course, there's nothing more than that. So what am I going to choose to see? I didn't check the time I started, but it doesn't matter. Well, it sure it matters because we got a workshop starting in half an hour. I wish I could go on. I think it's time to stop. Thank you very much.